Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
It just felt different last night. As you know, we were getting set there to watch Game 6. I know it's first round, but still, BT, think about this. You're getting set to watch Game 6 of a playoff, and we've been up and down through the roller coaster emotions of this terrific series. And I'm thinking to myself, man, this just, it's great to feel that the Knicks are back. And then you watch the game play out, and it was as good a first quarter as I remember ever seeing, period. You know, we have the highest of standards going back to the 90s and all that stuff. But when you think about where this team has been for over 20 years, to see them last night with that type of performance cement their legacy, because it's not just a first round win like it was a year ago. This is another first round win. And they've now been in the postseason 3 or 4 years, and they've now made it to the semis 2 straight years. It is official. The New York Knicks are back, and it just feels different.
It's amazing. And it also came against a team that a lot of people said the Knicks should duck. And when you, if those who said the Knicks should duck anybody don't know these Knicks. This is everything that you want in a team that you root for. I don't. Now, there's teams that have better players, you know, Yankees, Hall of Famers everywhere, Lawrence Taylor. You guys know the names, Eli, two-time Super Bowl champion. How can you root for a team? And everything that we demand, just our daily lives, just the arduous process and nature of getting into this city to work. Now we get taxed to come and work, all right? Everything's expensive. Gas sucks. Traffic sucks. Tolls, bridges, everything's tough. And this team is what we demand, because to live here and survive here, you have to be tough. Like, I watch the Knicks, and in my own mind, I sit there and I say, all right, if I was, you know, a lot younger and a lot more physically gifted, how would I play? I would play like them. I would dive out of bounds. I would play with an unbridled passion and an unrelenting vigor that is paramount to survive in this city. Like, yeah, I guess on some level it would be fun, like if we had our version, although I guess we have the light version, of like the Splash Brothers, and we won 131-97, and we rained 43s, and we had the best shooter of all time. But that's not the Knicks. Like, that couldn't be who the Knicks are, because that doesn't embody us. Any good Knick team got to be lunch pail, got to be tough. And while they're a lot better and more talented than I think a lot of people thought that they were. This Knicks team, there is nothing that they don't leave on the court. I love that. I love watching this team. I'm exhausted. I barely slept. I mean, you can see in my eyes. I didn't have a drop of alcohol last night. It's one of those combinations of like where I feel like I'm hungover and completely sleep deprived. And I want more. I want to feel like this the rest of May. Because all the moments with the Yankees, it doesn't match. Like there's something about the New York Knicks when they are legit. That is different. Yeah, and last night was awesome.
We'll get into, you know, we have plenty of time now. I can't wait to get into another series, another second round series. But you think about all that's gone into this team playing that way. And that's why I referenced the first quarter specifically. And I know that they, you know, the league got away from them, obviously, but they showed resiliency. And it was just a tremendous playoff game to cap off a very fun playoff series. A hard fought. It reminded me of the 90s. And I hate to keep doing that, but that's what we have as Knicks fans. You either have the 90s to reference most recently,
yep,
or you have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Because anything that happened in between the 90s and now didn't resonate the way that it is now. And I would say that first quarter, because of all the things you just talked about, the heart, the hustle, the determination, that was, like, the 90s Knicks didn't even do it to that level that we saw in that first quarter. And then the resiliency that they showed to battle back. And the superstar Jalen Brunson taking over. It just felt different. And now we are again in the midst, BT, mm-hmm, of what we saw in the 90s. Now, who knows if they're going to beat the Pacers. And they should. And we expect them to. And we'll get more into that.
A big favorites, by the way. I checked the betting odds. I'll tell you them in a bit.
But it's more about all those things that we talk about that we love about this team that is embodies this city.
Yep.
That's a credit to, like, this is not just an overnight thing. This is years in the making with Leon Rose hiring Tibbs and Rose bringing in guys that, this is not an accident. They brought in these guys because they play a certain way, starting with Julius Randle, who took them through the pandemic season into the playoffs out of nowhere. People expect the Knicks to win 15 games that year. They get to the 4 seed. All right, they lost, fine. Little regression year two, maybe step back before step forward. Then they get Brunson, and look at what they've done now in consecutive years. And they're not even whole. Like, we could argue, and we will, and we have, about whether they miss Brunson or not.
Randle.
Randall. He's their second best player. Like,
they said it a few times last. He was there last night. Good for him.
It was nice to see. They're not even whole, and yet they just took out a team who many people believe. Now, remember, Embiid got hurt for the large part of the year, which is why they were 7 seed.
Mm-hmm.
Many people, like, if he didn't get hurt, they would have been a 2 or 3 seed, and nobody would have thought the Knicks would beat him. And they just took him out, and they took him out in their building twice with terrific efforts led by Brunson, but it was mostly the team that just wanted it more.
My boy showed up, Dante. You know, answered the bell. He answered the bell. The dunk by OG. Josh Hart with the massive shot and the incredible hustle. You're right. All 7 guys. That's a different story down the road. How much longer can you win with 7 guys? But at least for this series, it worked out. Everybody that played, although Deuce played, he was very cold to start, hit a big three
later.
But
that's what they do, right? One guy cold, one, like McBride.
But when you play 7, one guy's cold. I was starting to get a little worried last night at one point because Deuce missed his first couple. But that's who they are. Like, you know, hard. And you name any player, they can miss 5 straight shots, and my instincts tell me that they're going to make the next one because their resolve is, I don't want to say it's without peer. That's ridiculous. I mean, other teams have been locked in and passionate, but I don't need to tell the Knicks fan what they're watching. You know that it's special. And the funny thing is, now, I don't want to say there was a debate, but there was a thought like, oh, man, would it be cool to win Game 7 at the Garden? Or, would you like to wrap it up Game 6 in their house? I got news for you. Their house is our house. We went down there. We took over the house. We won there again. And I don't know how you place a limit on this team. Today's a day where you want to, like, unpack the enjoyment. And before we get to Monday, which is Game 1 at the Garden against the Pacers, you want to let this enthusiasm and this feeling resonate for a while. And we will. We're not going to just push this forward immediately. But do not tell me that the Knicks have a ceiling. They don't.
Well, I mean,
they don't.
See, you're pushing it forward. You know what I mean?
I also been saying this for a while.
Right, but
and here we are.
Right, but don't push it forward.
Now,
the one thing is, I do want to see how this is going to play out throughout the course of the postseason. We're going to get a chance to find out. We said that this team can max out. You know, if they win the second round, anything that happens from there is gravy. So we'll see what happens. But how far could this team that may not be as talented as everybody else, especially without their second best player, but their heart, their fight, their will, their determination,
their intelligence,
how far will that take them throughout the NBA's postseason? And so far we know round two at worst. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Ron is in Baltimore. What's up, Ronnie?
BT, Sal, you guys hit it on the nail. This team is resilient. Dante DiVincenzo, BT, I said he needed to give us the 15 points that he's given us all year in the activity on defense, the deflections. We got him back. We got Dante back. Dante, we love you. We know what you can do. You answered the bell. Jalen Brunson, you trusted your teammate. That's what I love about Jalen. I don't blame you in that Heat series that passed to Hart. You dominated. You scored the ball. But the bottom line is you're a smart player. You trusted Hart. If Hart misses it, I can live with it because he was open. That was the right play. When your best player does all the right things, he says all the right things, it rejuvenates, it unites, and inspires your team. I do think this team plays better from behind, BT and Sal. So hopefully they learn from it. I know the Villanova guys have played together, but crazy stuff happens in the playoffs. We got to learn how to hold leads, but we hung in, BT. I'm nervous, but I love this team.
Oh, yeah, you're nervous about
it. But I'm nervous, too, but it's a good nervous. What? About everything.
And thanks for the call. You shouldn't be nervous
now. I don't
want
it to stop.
Well, today's not a day to be nervous. And by the way, like, it'd be one thing if you won, you were thinking, oh, man, we got a healthy Milwaukee Bucks team. They don't. Like, you mentioned it before, the Knicks are big favorites. Now, I mean, people expected them to beat Miami last year in round two, and that was as great of a season as it was a year ago. It was a very disappointing loss. I don't anticipate that coming in round two. I'd love to see this team get through Indiana, obviously, and then see where they stack up against the best in the East. Let's see what happens. But for right now, it's not a time to be nervous. Now's a time to appreciate and enjoy. And on the DiVincenzo point, like we talked about it yesterday, it can't just be Brunson, right? Brunson, for me, the recipe is obviously the intensity, the intelligence, the hustle, the rebounding, all that stuff. Like, that's a given.
Yep.
What this team gives you every single night. Then, for me, they need Brunson to be a star. Probably, instead of between 30 and 35, you need between 35 and 40. That's what it's been looking like for Jalen Brunson. Then you're going to need at least one of the other guys. Like, last night it was DiVincenzo. I know Anunoby had a terrific game last night.
He played out, yeah. Terrific series.
Well, now, if you get three of those guys, that's the recipe.
But how about Hartenstein? Not forget about Hartenstein. Yeah, he had about five or six of those little flickers that bounced around. I mean, he was massive last night, Hartenstein.
That's when they were infuriating me last night. Like, the offense can't be going through Hartenstein enough. Find somebody else to score. You can't
keep that's how he delivered. I don't disagree with your point for the most part.
They kept feeding him. Like, no, somebody's got to score.
Oh, I get you.
Good, good God. Get the ball out of his hands. It's going through him. Anyway, game one, McBride. Game two, and game one, you can throw in Josh Hart, too. Game two, Josh Hart and the officials. But still, then Brunson started to take over a little bit. And then last night, it was DiVincenzo. Anunoby a little more consistent, where Brunson's the main guy, Anunoby the second guy.
Yeah.
And then you need either DiVincenzo or McBride Hart to step up.
That's the recipe. Yeah. You know, it's funny because we were talking about this before the show. And like 2020, when the Knicks got to the playoffs in 2020, it was like such a torturous run that any crumb was digested pleasurably. You know, we didn't win the series, but, you know, they started letting people back to the garden. Trae Young absolutely abused us. But, you know, we're like, okay, hey, this is what it used to feel like, you know, even though there was no real expectations. Yeah. And then, boom, the next year it went backwards. Like, oh, all right, so not sustainable. They had to obviously add to the team, which they did. And, you know, last year was certainly a level above 2020 because they won a round. Then they very easily could have won the second round back against Miami, kind of conjures up the old imagery of the Knicks Heat from back in the day. It was fun. I think on a lot of levels they blew the series. I'm still not so sure the better team won. But either way, the reason why this feels completely different is because in 2020, we had Randle. We didn't have Brunson. In 2023, we had Brunson, and he was money. We didn't have, like, now we know that I just don't care what anybody thinks. Jalen Brunson is a top three or four player in the NBA. Debate it, tweet it, yell it, scream it, whatever. This guy, watch this guy play basketball. He is a surgeon. His footwork is impeccable. Impeccable. His timing is sublime. This guy, This guy is out of this world amazing. Amazing, Jalen Brunson. Amazing.
Oh, I mean, nobody,
amazing.
Nobody's going to dispute that.
But they might. Oh, I don't, you know, they can. They can. You don't think people are going to dispute? And I don't.
No,
I don't want to do it today. But you don't think he's a top three, four, five player in the world?
Oh no, I'm with you.
Oh I mean, my God, Jalen Brunson.
We've talked about this. He should be an MVP. Now we don't even need to go into who's better or Joker.
No, I'm just saying for effect, though. Like, just so people get it, this guy is unstoppable.
And we'd rather here have nobody but him because he embodies everything about this city. So it's the perfect fit. But for me, BT, like you mentioned it, hey, it's now expected. When Randall led the Knicks to the four seed in the pandemic shortened year, it was fun to have a playoff series again. We missed that. Yeah. If you grew up or lived through the 90s, it became norm to when you got to May, you were going to have playoff series. That's what it's about. And that's the greatest thing as a sports fan. Enjoy it. Win or lose, the loss is going to hurt, of course. But when you win, it's even more fun. But you have the playoff series. You got a taste of it with Randall that year, but it wasn't legit. Mm-hmm. Although that's where this whole thing started. Then 2 years later, Brunson comes into the picture, and it started to become more legit. Then now you're seeing it. It's legit. We're in the middle of expecting now. We're out of it. We're out of that hell that has been the last two decades with the New York Knicks. That's it. That's the end of the story. How many times over the years has it been, oh, maybe they're getting the lights at the end of the tunnel. They're going to get LeBron. They're going to get KD. They're going to get Kyrie. They're going to get Zion. They're going to have this pick, that pick. This guy's going to be this. This guy's going to be that. 20 years of it. And it's now over officially. From like it started to come out of it with Randall. Then last year with Brunson. Last night to me was the official stamp that that's over. And we are now back to expecting the Knicks to be in the postseason, and not only be in the postseason, BT, but be dangerous in the postseason where we're starting to move past the first round. Now, 2 years in a row, hasn't happened in over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said before, you don't want to put a ceiling on this team, and you look ahead to even next, like, this is sustainable.
Yeah.
And they're only going to get better moving forward.
Amen, brother. I mean, amen, Isaiah, Jerome James,
Phil,
Eddie Curry, we'll get to him, Marbury and all this wackiness and everything in between, and then Jeff Hornacek with Phil and Derek Fisher and Steve Mills, who had run of the guard. And I agree, gentlemen, I love Steve. I know him a little bit. Great guy. Just didn't get the job done all these years, all these hopes. Well, maybe we get this ping pong ball fall in our favor. This guy comes and saves us as a rookie, or this guy comes and graces us with his presence. LeBron, the names, you know it. If you've been on this ride, it has been, I know it, but I want to be fair because I know, opinion's not always right, but I know it. There has been no more torturous sporting ride than what the New York Knicks have put us on this century. And not only is it over, we're just getting to the best part of the tunnel. Ride starting.
Here we go, baby. Eli is calling from Waterbury, Connecticut. What's up, Eli?
Hey, how you guys doing? I just want to give a shout-out to my boy Jake. All right, so last night I went out to the local bar, and when I tell you the bar was rocking and everyone cheering for the Knicks, it felt surreal. I felt like a little kid again. You know, I waited all these years for the Knicks to finally get it right, and I feel we have the chance and we have a great team to get the job done this year.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Eli. I mean, it's different generations, obviously. That's how bad it's been, is that you and I keep referencing, and obviously go a little bit further back than I do, but like we reference the 90s. It's not just because that's the team that we grew up watching. It's because that's the last team that was any good. Think about that.
Yep.
So if you're younger
and
you never experienced that, this is a whole new thing, seeing the Knicks good have been bad for 20 years. If you're older, you've lived through some success, but it's been over 20 years, and now we're getting to taste it again. It's almost like, the first year with Randall, you didn't know how to feel. You're getting back into it. Is it legit? Then with Randall, Brunson last year, you're right, PT. It's like, wow, is this guy actually this good? Like, yeah, it was a nice signing, and we had hope, but this guy's really freaking good. How good is he going to be? Mm-hmm. And now we know.
Yeah. And other teams have been bad, like the Mets, obviously, have had long runs of ineptitude, certainly, when they were first born in the early 60s and then the 70s. After 73, were not very good to them. But they were never, like, dysfunctional. Like, even the Mets at their lowest point, there's always an element of like, you still kind of, like, they're lovable. Not only were the Knicks bad, but they were unlikable.
Embarrassment.
There were lawsuits. I mean, yep. Isaiah Thomas. Yeah, I mean, everybody couldn't stand the venom for the owner. I mean, you know, it is completely flipped.
It was the lowest of the lows.
It couldn't get lower.
All that stuff that you mentioned, the 17-win seasons or whatever it was, like, the Knicks. And to have that fall from what we saw for the prior decade, to have that fall for these most recent two decades, for the most part, it was awful. And now, you're right, we're out of it. And only better days lie ahead, whether it's this year, and we'll enjoy the Pacers series. And maybe
Oh, yeah. Game one on Monday, by the way.
But make no mistake, Amari said it. It may have been a little...
It's our boy Amari. Respect.
I love Amari, but...
The Knicks are back.
The Knicks are back.
Quote, Amari Stoudemire.
Yeah. he said it.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I remember where he was when he said it. No. I remember exactly where he was.
Hey, Amari, now the Knicks are back. BT and Sal on the Fan, more your calls on the other side, 877-337-6666.
When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan.
He's homered! Derek Jeter homers to tie the game, and there it is, hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
We are the New York Knicks.
Crank this up, Big Zoo.
We are the New York Knicks.
They say go New York, go New York, go.
Go New York, go New York, go.
I say go New York, go New York, go.
Man, that felt good last night. It was just such a fun. That first quarter, BT. BT and Sal back on the Fan, 877-337-6666. That first quarter was everything you dream about. And again, I know that they blew the lead, whatever, but it's still important because when you think about the loss that they came off of in game five, on the road for the next game against a team that's got some talent, obviously, with Embiid and Maxey and apparently Buddy Hield. But you look at what they did in that first quarter. It was as perfectly played for the majority of it as you could ask. Not just the execution, but the heart, the hustle, God, the determination, the will. They dominate. Like, I don't ever remember. You know I love Ewing and Starks and all. I don't ever remember feeling as good as I did after that first quarter of the Knicks game last night.
Did you think it was gonna be that easy? Like, what did you think was gonna happen? I was starting to think, I'm like, I mean, are we gonna beat this team by 25, 30 points?
Do you know why I started to think that? Normally I wouldn't, because you'd be like, it's a game of runs. Because what the Knicks were doing was just steamrolling them, punching them in the face, kicking them in the nuts, leaving them for dead. And that combined with the Sixers, who have proven to be soft. So I'm thinking, man, Embiid, you know, he's going back to the locker room. He looks beat up as it is. The crowd's going to turn on him. They're going to lose this game by 20. So, yeah, I was surprised that the Sixers showed as much fight as they did.
No, it's amazing. We do, as Sal said before, we go back to the 90s because that's our point of reference from not necessarily our age, which also applies, but the last time that they gripped the city like this for an extended amount of time. And I know it gets old after a while, like, as much as we respect,
right,
like, me and you, we didn't see him, Clyde and Pearl and DeBusschere and Bill Bradley and all the Red Holtzman, the great coach and architect of those Knicks teams, the two championships. We didn't see him play, and while we revere them for what they did for those before us, after a while, it's the same with Joe Namath and the Jets. Like, all right, I get it. So I know that there's younger Knicks fans in your 20s, maybe even early 30s. Yeah, early 30s for sure. You're like, all right, guys, I love the Go New York song, but can you give me something? So they're giving them something now. And it is amazing. Those memories and those flashbacks and those moments and those months upon months of just incredibly riveting, tightly contested basketball that took over the city. We do sometimes misremember how gross it was. Do you know? And I think I said this yesterday, but I didn't know the exact score. Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals, Pacers-Knicks. We'll see you soon, Indy. We'll get to you soon.
Mm.
Do you know what the score of that game was? Game 3.
Of what year is this?
94.
Game 3,
Knicks-Pacers, 88-68.
Ooh.
We lost by 20. We didn't score 70 points.
Yeah.
So, like, not only does this Knicks team play with a similar energy, and I think, as you said, in a lot of ways, more aggression, more intelligence,
God,
for sure. Like, Patrick Ewing didn't play this hard.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry. Pat wasn't diving around the court because he physically couldn't at that stage of his career. But these Knicks also put the ball in the bucket. Like, it's one thing to play hard because your other physical qualities are limited. Like, aesthetically, it's beautiful the way they share the ball.
We can debate whether Ewing, and look, Ewing is far more accomplished than Jalen Brunson. Now, Brunson's on his way, certainly, but Ewing's far more accomplished. But you could debate which star you think is better. You cannot debate that the talent currently on this Knicks team around Brunson is significantly better. Now, the sport is totally different.
Well, that's a big part of it, too.
But still, the sport's totally different. Look at the players, though, that the Knicks have currently in comparison to those 90 teams. But real quick, BT, because you're right. Like, I hate to continuing reference in the 90s.
Back in the day.
Right, but it is twofold. It's because we grew up watching it, but it's more so because they were really, really good and because it was the last time that they were really, really good. The difference is, and we would never talk about Clyde and all that because we weren't around to see it.
Didn't see him play
However,
a second.
The difference is the Knicks won the championship in 1970.
They got Pearl and they won the second one, 73.
They won in 73, okay?
Yep.
So the disparity from, then they lost in the Eastern Conference Finals the following year in 73, 74. Okay, lost in the first round in 74.
Who'd they lose to in 70? Was that the Bullets? Was that the...
I don't know who they lost to in 74.
First round, huh?
Don't have that up. But anyway, they lost in the first round in 74, 75, which would be the equivalent, you know, the end of their run, which would be the equivalent of the Knicks losing in the first round. And I remember because I went to one of those games against the Raptors in 2000 and 2001. And I remember thinking to myself, what the hell just happened here?
Yeah, yeah. Who did they have? Who was their lefty shooter, the Raptors? Played at Michigan State, lefty. I remember his name. I remember the team well. God, 3-point sniper.
I don't remember. Good player.
Either way, that was an uninspiring series.
I know it was T-Mac.
I'm trying to think of the shooter.
I would know if you said it.
I'll look it up. I'll remember it.
Point is, I remember thinking to myself, what the hell just happened here?
Yeah.
The Knicks lost in the first round. Like, when I tell you, if you're young enough not to understand, the Knicks moving on beyond the first round was a given.
Yep.
It happened 9 straight years. It was automatic. So that was the first sign of, they might be in trouble. So much so that Van Gundy left midway through, or not even midway, in the beginning of the following year because he knew that it was over. Point is, so after that 75 season, the gap between when they became relevant again was not as great as it is from the 90s to now.
It was really to Bernard King. And well, by the way, the guy's name was Mo Pete. I was from Mo Peterson.
Peterson. So, yeah, I remember him.
So the mid-70s and then the late 70s, the Knicks were awful. There was like 8 or 9,000 people. The attendance were down. The Knicks were almost outcast in the city for some reason. Then they drafted like Bill Cartwright, I want to say in 1979. He was the third pick. And then they traded, eventually got Bernard King and Tucker and Sparrow and Hubie Brown. And they had a tough seven-game series with the Celtics after Bernard averaged, I think, 43, 44 points and 83 against the Pistons, 83, 84. But the gap wasn't as pronounced. You're right.
So let's say there was a nine-year period after that first-round exit in which they made the postseason four times.
Yeah, there you go.
And only lost in the first round once.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Then they missed the postseason three times and then started that run in 87, 88 where they were in the playoffs every freaking year until 2001 where they finally lost in the first round. Then after that, you know, there was the absence. Then, all right, the mellow years, but still, even then, lost in the first round. Lost in the first round. Oh my God, actually won a round. Then they go back into the hole again for another decade.
And that
almost
was a deep hole. That was a dark place, that hole.
So there were two prolonged stretches of no first round victories for this team. No first round victories and minimal playoff appearances at that. Like to make it was like, oh my God. And now they got back into where it's been the last three or four years they've been in the postseason, two of which they've won a first-round series. And the future, this is not like the pinnacle. This is not the apex for this team. Mm-hmm. It's only going to get better from here.
Well, the other thing that's happened, good job running down that stuff too. During that prolonged gap that Sal just chronicled, not only were the Knicks in this dark cave, but they were really, they were thought to be NBA pariahs. Like, you would hear NBA superstars saying, I'm not going to play for that guy. I'm not going to play at the Garden. How do you think the young, forget about the OGs. Now, I'm not talking about guys that are, you know, in their 30s, like Dame Lillard, even though, you know, he's in a good, he just got bounced, but, you know, whatever. Guys, I don't mean guys like that. I mean guys who are 21, 22, 23. How do you think they view the Garden right now? How do you think that they look at the Knicks and they look at this team and they say, wow, not only that's what my grandfather or my dad said the Garden used to sound like, but they're also seeing a team now taking over other teams' buildings and playing with a synergy that is almost impossible to replicate in the pros. You might get that in college once in a while, but the Knicks are not only good, they're desirable by the rest of the players in the NBA.
Mike is calling from Oceanside. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mikey.
Happy Friday.
Yes.
I'm 50 years old, so these Knicks, I think, are a whole lot better than the 90s Knicks, and they're a team in an era of a me personality. Like, you have all these teams that have the individual, concentrate on the individual. This is just such a team, and it's got to be something said that they put together the Villanova kids together.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
These guys have won championships. They're proven winners, and it shows. Who took over the game last night when it mattered? Those three guys.
Yep.
And the fourth guy, I'd love to be Ananobi's agent right now because that guy's just a beast. And when you say, you know, I know you had said Randall is probably the second best player. I think a healthy Ananobi is probably the second best player on that team.
Yeah, I mean, the Randall stuff is interesting. And thanks for the call. And I don't want to get too much into Randall now. I'm sure it'll pop up a little later. I personally think that he is going to get dealt this summer. And I do think that they're better without him. I have said that. And I think this series, not that it proves it right, but I think it underscores it a bit more in my favor. I think some people are starting to see that more and more. But that play,
no way, dude.
I get it. Not everybody agrees.
I mean, they won the series, which is great, but yeah. I still think they would have won it with Randall.
I think they're better with Randall.
You think Ananobi better than Randall?
I think they would have lost with Julius Randall, but I don't want to do that today.
No,
I really don't.
Don't
I don't want to do that to Julius now. I'm not going to do it now.
Do you think Ananobi is better than Randall?
I don't even want to do that now. Like, I'm not saying I won't have that discussion. I believe that they will trade him. Trust me, I'm not running away from taking a position. Like, I think they're better without him. But I don't want to do that now.
Right.
But the moment when OG, and I don't know if you said to yourself, but that was such a point of inflection. He gets the ball, and I'm like, is he going to settle for the mid-range?
And shook it to the rack.
But there was a half a second of time that elapsed where he, I think he was starting to process like, all right, I'm going to let this 15-footer go. And he's like, no way. I am going to bang it in Embiid's face. And like, if that doesn't encapsulate these Knicks, I don't know what does. Like, I mean, the Starks dunk was tougher, left hand, you know, over multiple bodies. Mm-hmm. But in terms of symbolism, that's the new Starks dunk.
There it is right there, boom! Actually, BT. We're just watching on replay right
you
there.
Suck on that, Philly. Yeah.
And I know he played a hell of a game. And you've actually seen him throughout the course of this series evolve his game to where, I don't know if somebody told him or he's just like, you know what? I got to step it up here offensively. I can't just be the defensive guy that's going to pop threes from the corner, mm-hmm. to a point where he's been trying to get to the rim or that foul line jumper.
Yep.
And it's become more of a part of his game. And he's become a consistent secondary scorer, which he wasn't prior. And
yeah.
They're going to need that. Look, not just against the Celtics, against the Pacers here. They're going to need it. They don't have enough secondary consistent scoring behind Brunson. So they need Brunson to give the 35-40. And they're going to need Anunoby, who has proven he could do it. But now maybe he's just made this a part of his game, mm-hmm. being a little bit more aggressive as a scorer.
Brunson's empowered him. I think Jalen's ability to...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
To do what he does has made OG's lane to expand his game easier. And that's what great players do. They make other players better.
World Series over. Yankees win.
This happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Time for the Wendy's Yankees Turning Point of the Game contest. Wendy's, the official hamburger of the New York Yankees. Be the first call to correctly identify yesterday's turning point of the game at 866-540-WFAN. 866-540-9326. You'll receive two pairs of tickets to a Yankees 2024 regular season game. It's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball. The Fan.
Hey, let's wake up, Yankee bats. All right, by the way, I've got the schedule. I don't want to assume everybody knows this here. You know, late to sleep, early for work. Game one is Monday at the Garden, 7:30. Game Pacers, obviously. Game two is Wednesday at the Garden, 8 p.m., both on TNT. Then we got a Friday night game.
Hold on, slow down here. I want to look at this. So game one is Monday night, 7:30.
MSG, TNT. Okay. At the Garden, it's not on MSG. There's no local broadcast moving forward. I don't know if everybody knows that. So
same
game one's Monday.
Okay. Game two,
Wednesday.
7:30 or 7?
8 p.m.
Ooh, a little later.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's last night. I mean, 8 p.m. is like a nice early tea time.
Nine o'clock starts. That's rough, dude.
9 o'clock.
I legit was, like, you know how you're watching a game and you just can't help yourself? Your body starts to shut down?
Yeah.
I'm like, what is going on here? Like, with 2 minutes ago, and they're reviewing everything, taking 45 freaking minutes.
Yeah.
Let's go. Some people are going to get to sleep here. I'm dying. I mean, I couldn't stay up.
Did he go 10? Did he not? Oh, my God.
Come on now. But I stayed up, but, like, I had to fight myself.
I did. I get like that sometimes with like Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
I don't get like that with the Knicks, man. I was revved up. I hear you, but right. I know how the body starts to shut down. Last night, I couldn't get it to shut down. That's why I barely sleep.
I told Hoff, you know, I usually do that WFA and Daily podcast. We've been doing them live reacting to the
He did it last night.
Yeah, I told him I can't do it. Like, I'm not feeling well, and I'm tired. Like, I'm shot. I don't have it in me, so enjoy it. It's a big one, but whatever. You go do
so
it.
So he did it for you instead?
I guess so, yeah.
Let's check the amount of downloads, him versus you.
I think he said he did well, which is
nice. I'm saying maybe he got more than you. Yeah, maybe he's going to take the gig from you and usurp Sal.
Wally Pipp. All right.
Anyway, Friday night is game three. So it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Games 1, 2, and 3 at Indy.
And what time is that?
7 p.m.
Okay.
Fairly early. And then it's Sunday at Indy at 3:30, which obviously that's a juggle. But it was like that back in the day, too. Oh, Sunday. It is Monday. Wait.
Yeah, I think Sunday
is
Mother's Day.
It is Mother's Day. Well, not this Sunday.
No.
That is Mother's Day.
So that's game 5 or 4, you said?
Well,
game 4.
Mom, I know you're not a massive sports fan. You're going to be one coming up on that Sunday.
So game four,
yep.
Mother's Day,
3:30 ABC. No local broadcasts. In terms of the betting stuff, Knicks -300. That's a big number.
I was just thinking, man.
-3 bills.
So that's the Knicks a favorite?
-3, yep, Pacers +3. And then I'll give you one stat just to whet the appetite, get back to these Knick calls, massive energy, 877-337.
We have a Rangers schedule yet?
66-66. I believe they're playing Friday night game one. That's all
and
I know.
That's it? No,
Sunday night game one.
Sunday night confirmed?
I believe that's what Boomer said,
7 p.m. Sunday night game one.
That's confirmed.
And nothing beyond that? I mean, come on, what are they doing? Let's make the schedules here. Although you can do it around the Knicks.
Nice.
I hope they don't play the same night as the Knicks.
They're not going to do that. There's no way. How about this stat for you? Just even though we're still talking about the Sixers and all that stuff that went down. I think this was the greatest Knicks series I've ever seen. Now, there's been others that were more meaningful, clearly.
The Knicks Heat, the Allen Houston game.
I'm talking about in terms of where every single game is down basically to the buzzer. I racked my brains. I do not remember a series this competitive, this insane, this many, you know, buzzer beaters and incredible, indelible moments. That's just my opinion. But think about this. The Pacers, 26th on the season in defensive rebounding. Knicks, number one offensive rebounding team. Just, you know, put that in your back pocket.
When you actually watch this team. Now, look, it takes a lot of missed shots to grab more offensive rebounds, right? And that's part of the...
No, but the Knicks are efficient.
If they were that... Yeah, but I'm not... You get caught up in the stats. I'm watching the games. I mean, they miss way too many shots. Now, the point is they get a lot of these rebounds. Not just second chances. How many times... I wish I was keeping a log. How many times they come down and get multiple opportunities... versus the Sixers coming down and getting one and done opportunity.
Oh, it was a massive reason the Knicks won. It's who they are.
In the 90s, I know basketball's totally different, but you would watch these games and every possession mattered so much. You basically were lucky if you got a second opportunity. It was one and done both sides.
Yeah.
Now it's not like that, and the Knicks are just running circles around teams, in particular the Sixers on the glass. They're dominating.
Well, one of the reasons, and this is, you know, we always say, you know, back in the 90s versus now, how different and how the game's evolved here. You know, one of the big differences now versus then and the ability to get offensive rebounds is there's so much more of a free-flow openness to the NBA. I mean, you got think about the way the Knicks run their offense. You know, Brunson dribbles down. Mm. Hartenstein or Mitchell Robinson basically comes 25 feet away from the rim, maybe more. Little dribble handoff, set the screen, boom, 7, 8, 9 seconds, ticking away. Then you got guys, you know, darting back and forth. DiVincenzo, OG, Josh Hart, wings. Like, there's constant movement. And when offensive players are moving and it's largely away from the basket, then you have defenders drawn away from the basket, which means the paint's open, which means the ability to get offensive rebounds is much more pronounced than it was back in the day.
If I asked you a question about your boy DiVincenzo.
Oh, he stuck it right down your throat, dude.
No.
Down my boy Dante. Sandy wasn't up. Yeah. Sandy wasn't up for the task. Dante this. Dante that. All year I heard Dante DiVincenzo.
You asked me yesterday before we left the air and said who was going to be the second guy. Mm-hmm. And my answer was?
Well, it only took you months to come around.
Whoa. Do you know why?
You finally got it right last night with Dante.
Yeah. Whoa.
Finally, we got it right.
Well, how'd he do in the first?
You didn't believe in him this season. You took him for granted.
I said he was going to do what he did last night. Number one. Number two, I'm giving you that.
No, I'm giving you that. They played six games.
It's nice of them to show up for one of them.
But they played 82 during the regular season.
Yeah,
and he was money.
When you're getting caught up in the regular season. It's about the postseason. I was just going to praise him, and now you're trying to take back. DiVincenzo sucked this series for 5 games.
You hit a game winner, Sal.
Cut this up digital so they can send the answers. DiVincenzo sucked for 5 games. I correctly predict that he gets the game six right. Yeah. You know why?
Why?
He's due. He stunk for five games. It's about time he showed up. Maybe if he showed up in game five, the Knicks would have buried them in game
and
five.
And maybe if he didn't stick the game winner early, but maybe they'd be losers instead of winners.
You realize why I don't like him as a player is exactly what we've seen in the series.
I don't know how you don't like him. Now,
because
I understand.
Like consistency.
Let me ask you this. Can
is
we
he consistent?
Shooting the ball? He was right behind Steph Curry shooting the ball during the regular.
What did he? What's his percentage in the postseason?
Let me ask you. It was low, but Jalen only shot 43% overall. Too.
That's why I said after the first two games,
but
I'd
be worried.
It's
called different defense. It's more strategy.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. I want to give you a chance to change the word and take it back.
I was going
to
praise him for the record.
I know. You just said one of the reasons I don't like Devin, and I know you don't mean that. So I know you like him. So maybe can we? If you want to take away not like or dislike, can we use the word trust? It just seems softer. Because I think deep down you really like DiVincenzo.
No, I don't.
You just don't trust him enough.
It's not about him personally.
Well, I understand. I mean his game.
I like his attitude as far
as the hustle. His attitude's phenomenal.
Yeah. I'm talking about consistency. I don't trust inconsistent players. Here's what I was going to say before you sidetracked it. If you could pick one thing from DiVincenzo's game last night that I love the most, what do you think it would be? Now, there was a lot of it.
Oh, jeez, it's a long list for my boy. Do you mean a specific play or just a general?
There was a specific moment in the game that he did something that that I loved most about his game. It wasn't the
defensive effort. One thing that jumped out to me. I don't know if this is what you're looking for. When he went to the line and he iced those two.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm looking for.
Did you see, was it Kyle Lowry? I think somebody was chirping at him. Did you see the look on his face? I remember saying to myself, there's no way he's missing.
11 seconds to go. He walks up to the free throw line and infuriating that the Knicks cannot make the free throw.
They still miss some.
I mean, even Brunson for a superstar. Dude, knock down some free throws.
I hear you.
My God.
That's fair criticism.
It's infuriating. Hit some free throws.
Mm-hmm.
But DiVincenzo walks up like an assassin.
I knew it too.
Flips the ball. He's not thinking.
Boom. He was laughing.
Boom.
He was laughing.
Give me the ball. Like, you see these guys dribble, think, dribble.
Let's go.
Choke. He grabs it, flips the ball once, boom, done, boom,
been
done.
Been doing it since I was seven in the backyard. Give me the rock, let's go. Time to go home.
To me, now he had a terrific game. And I understand why you like him. I think just the fundamental difference is that I like consistency in any sport.
But if you really think of it, listen, generally, in just the parameters of observing sports, I'm going to co-sign what Sal just said. I think all of us, that's one of the reasons why Zach Wilson's not here. Not consistent. I get it. You got to be consistent. But first of all, he's a really good athlete.
Well, if he were consistent, he'd be Klay Thompson or whatever, better. I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know. Like, you know, he's a good passer. He's fearless. Like, he does a lot. There's no real limitations to his game. Now, he does go up and down a little bit, at least this series. Regular season was very steady, and he was, you know, a first-round pick, so he had that that pedigree. Everybody knew, and he stuck the game winner in the NCAA championship, by the way. He did this for Villanova.
Right.
He won them a championship. I just think that Dante, the stats are far more quantifiable. I watch Dante DiVincenzo, and I never get worried. I don't always think the ball's going to the hole,
understood.
But I know that guy's not afraid of anything.
Well, that is true, and that's a great attribute to have. Not afraid of anything, as evidenced by the free throws last night, as evidenced by hitting the game winner in game two. He just missed one seconds before. A lot of guys would be like, oh, I don't want to take this shot again and be a goat. He's like, give me the ball. He knew where it was going to be. Line him up, boom, and knock it down. So that I love about him. The inconsistency I don't love. You can't be basically non-existent for the first five games, and I know he hit the game winner in game two, but still, you know what I'm talking about, and then have the game that he had last night. I'd like to see a little, you're allowed to have a bad game or two, sure, but five games, basically irrelevant, and then have the big game last night. All right, BT inside. I was going to praise him, and he starts talking about I hate the guy.
I know.
I wanted to give him credit for knocking down those two free throws.
I got you, but you got to understand, Dante DiVincenzo, I wouldn't use the word consternation, but he's been a little source of, what's the right word? Not even divide, just debate within
our
Yeah. And I had to make sure my boy last night shoved it down your throat and let everybody know about it.
Pete and Seaford, what's up, Pete?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
How are you,
hey, Pete?
You know, I'm Dante. I told all my buddies yesterday, very good big game out of Dante. And not only was the scoring early so critical, he dry-humped Maxey the whole game into Maxey's worst. Maxey had a coming-out part of the series. No doubt about it. He's a spectacular player. The Knicks will have trouble with him for years to come. But Dante, what he did last night, and the adjustment that Tibbs made after Maxey really cooked McBride to put Dante on him for 48 minutes, masterclass by Tibbs. But on to
your biggest point there, though, Pete, you're right about the defense. It was the early buckets from DiVincenzo that changed the entire game because you knew once he started hitting those shots, it was going to be on for the Knicks.
Right. But on to Jalen Brunson, who really, I think when it's all said and done, we'll be talking about maybe even more so than Clyde and more so than Ewing. First player since Oscar Robertson to average a 35-point double-double in the playoffs. First player since Michael Jeffrey Jordan to average 40 points in three straight closeout games in a playoff series.
And I believe that was that with Jordan against the Celtics when he scored 63 or 65? That was in 84 when MJ did that, right?
I think it was the Cavs in 89, but either way.
Okay, gotcha. Oh, you're right. 80, you're right. It was 80. I gotcha. You're right. My bad.
Only the fifth player in NBA history over any four-game stretch, playoffs or regular season, to average a 40-point double-double. Joining LeBron, Kevin Durant, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Russell Westbrook.
Let's go.
Yeah, but he's too small.
Sing it. Too slow. Can't dunk. Doesn't dunk.
Come on, man.
If I can give you one little narrative for the Pacers series, Rick Carlisle's last game as the coach of the Mavericks, Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals, after Jalen Brunson did everything he could to get that Mavericks team there when Doncic was hurt, Brunson only played 8 minutes. In that game 7, Rick Carlisle, for whatever reason, after he rode him all the way when Luka was hurt, couldn't find the time to get him back into the game.
Well, Rick, listen, I've known Rick, and I know him personally, and I've watched him when I was in Detroit. He was their coach of the Pistons. I was there early in my career. If you're not playing defense, you're not playing for Rick. And, Jalen Brunson, obviously, is an amazing player, and he gives you effort defensively, but to say he's an above-average defender is just flat-out wrong. So I would have to think that momentary ignoring of Brunson had to be defensively based. Had to be.
Can't wait. We'll do more on the Knicks. I got some other stuff that I want to get into on the other side. BT and Sal and Fan Warrior calls 877-337.
You're not bringing up Lindor today, are you?
66. Oh, I'll leave you alone on that one. It would have been a rough day for you. All right, we'll get into that. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.